This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com. You've been through a little bit of living,
a little bit of growing, all adds up to you. Dan Bluestone is an architectural historian and director of the Historic Preservation Program at the University of Virginia School of Architecture. He joins us now and then to keep us updated on efforts on the part of the organization he's involved with, SaveMacIntyre.com, effort on the part of some local folks here to save MacIntyre Park for our grandchildren. Dan joins us live in studio. How's your summer going?
Oh, it's going great, and things have really been hopping on the efforts to save MacIntyre Park. As you know, tomorrow, the 22nd of July at 5:30 to 9 p.m., the Save MacIntyre Park Coalition is sponsoring a picnic in MacIntyre Park. It will have Trees on Fire and Mariana Bell performing underneath the picnic pavilion in MacIntyre Park. Rain or shine, we'll always be there dancing, having a great time. And one of the things we're going to be doing...
So Trees on Fire is the name of a group, because you confused
right.
me at first.
Trees on Fire.
We're going to be at the park with Trees on Fire.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, Coy, because the site that we're meeting on tomorrow, and I hope people will come, we're going to do a walk that is going to survey the mature forest trees that are being cut down in order to provide the YMCA with a building site for the Y in the park. There are over 45 mature forest trees that are coming down, including and the picnic pavilions that we're going to be dancing in, and that the Trees on Fire and the Mariana Bell Band is going to be performing in tomorrow, are coming out in order to make room for the YMCA project, the proposed YMCA project.
Which is going over near the ball fields where the picnic pavilions
That's
are, right?
That's right. And what you have on that site are actually, among other things, five mature oak trees that are probably older than MacIntyre Park itself that are coming down to accommodate this building. It makes so little sense to be doing this in the middle of the city's major park. And the Y plan, as it's now been developed by VMDO architects, it calls for a 320-foot-long elevation. The building will be over a football length, field length, and it's sitting right in the middle of the park. It's going to just have a devastating...
Why is it so long?
That's the way they're building it, and it's highly visible from 250. It has a big YMCA billboard.
Because isn't it more expensive? I've always been told by architects, well, for anybody, when you want to do an addition to your house, it's always more expensive to go out, and it's cheaper to go up,
oh,
right?
Well, they're going both out and up and back. I mean, this thing is 62,000 square feet, Coy, which is larger by 50% than any block in downtown Charlottesville. That's the number of square feet they're putting into this. And we're going to be having, between the ball fields and the Y, there's a plan now for something in excess of 300 parking spaces. I mean, this thing for people driving by on Route 250, looking at this, one of the reasons I think there's such a large YMCA sign on the building is because people just driving by and looking are going to take a look over there at all the parking and at this big 320-foot-long elevation, and they're going to think this is an in-town version of Walmart. That's what MacIntyre Park is going to look like when they accommodate all of this new parking space and this huge YMCA.
Well, we're talking with Dan Bluestone, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you'd like to join this conversation. Your thoughts about the future of MacIntyre Park. Dan, that whole side of MacIntyre Park, which is, you know, bisected by the railroad tracks, that whole side will just become the YMCA campus, you know?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. That's what this will look like. It'll have the active recreation. People keep talking about this being active recreation. But one of the great things about playing softball in those fields is that if you don't have to look very far to feel like you're out in the field of dreams with trees standing on all sides. And what's going to happen is the majestic oak trees, the majestic tulip poplars that are right on that adjacent hillside next to the ball fields are coming out, and we're basically going to be looking at a fairly barren landscape. It takes decades to grow mature forest trees.
Well,
These trees are older than the park.
If you're standing on those ball fields, you're basically going to be playing ball in the parking lot of the YMCA.
That's absolutely right. And so any sense of being in the country or being in another place is really, you know, it's just we're losing that. And I can understand the temptation on the part of city council to try to work with the Y and get them, you know, cheap land and all the rest. The thing is, City of Charlottesville has cheap land all over the place. You know, there's why isn't this being built next to the Carver Recreation Center? Could actually take advantage of
the city yard is?
Yeah, city yards.
See, I thought that was where we started, right? And that to me was the most logical choice. It's right in the middle of the city.
Plenty of parking there.
Yeah.
In the middle of the city. Now we're putting it out in the suburbs for kind of gentrified YMCA.
Well,
this
I heard
is
that,
not going to be your standard Y.
I heard the rumor was that the Y folks didn't want to be at the city yard because they sort of wanted to cater to the suburban not be right in the middle of the city.
Suburban people driving lots of cars. And even if you accept their rationale for being out there, why didn't we build this right up next to Charlottesville High School where there's actually complimentary parking space? We wouldn't be paving over all these additional spaces. We wouldn't be eroding the quality of the park. This was just something that was not well thought through. And I think it's going to have, when you look at that football length elevation of this building, you realize what a devastating impact. And you look at the mature oaks and tulip poplars and beech trees and cherry trees that are coming out of that site, you realize that we're going to have a barren middle of McIntyre Park that will take decades and decades to reforest.
We're talking with Dan Bluestone. He's an architectural historian from the University of Virginia. Well, let me play devil's advocate because I'm good at that.
Okay, good. I love it.
This city needs this. This is the perfect location right there in the park with great parking, easy access. The kids can leave the high school and walk right over and swim. So we lose a few trees. That park's full of trees.
Well, you know, Coy, one of the things that there's a very effective visual that would help you see what's going on here. And that is, there's a great visual that was done in the 1890s of Central Park that showed every project that had been proposed for Central Park. And Central Park was filled to the gills with additional running horse racing tracks and museums and botanical gardens and reservoirs and cultural institutions and armories. And the thing is, if you start treating your parks as if they're just cheap real estate, then you start getting highways going through them, you start getting buildings put up. And, you know, there might, on the face of it, have been some rationale. The thing is, this could have been put in places that would have actually contributed to the building of the city rather than the demolition of the park. This is just an awful precedent to be setting, and it's an awful location for the Y. And if people come out tomorrow, 5:30 to 9 at the picnic shelter in McIntyre Park, where Trees on Fire and Mariana Bell will
be
playing. Free concert. These are top quality bands. And one of the things we'll do is we'll have a tree walk, and we'll be looking at all of these trees that are coming down.
You put little ribbons on them.
That's what we're doing. We're going to have orange ribbons, you know, the usual survey, cut this tree. That's what's going to be on the trees tomorrow. As we listen to Trees on Fire, we're going to be looking at trees about to be cut down.
We're talking with Dan Bluestone, and JR is on line one. JR, thank you for the call. Go right ahead.
Corey, Tommy Charlottesville High School. It's always been a big question by a lot of people. First place, why did they put Charlottesville High School right there where they did, almost in the county? And people coming in here have a hard time finding a place because it's so far out of the way from the main part of the city. You got the Albemarle County Officeville and Old Lane High School sitting right smack dab in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's never made sense to me.
JR, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, this was part of this kind of 1950s, 1960s thinking, which basically said that we ought to be specializing the entire urban landscape. We should have houses over there and stores over there, and schools shouldn't be anywhere near the downtown. And you think of what was the civic effect on our student population when we decided that McGuffey would close, that Lane High School would close, that Jefferson School would close, on their ability to see the way in which their society works. Businesses, courts, libraries, yeah, all in the center.
I mean,
of
historically,
the city.
These schools have been part of the fabric of a community.
Absolutely.
And then somewhere along the way, we just sort of pushed them out of the way and isolated them.
Yeah, we'll send them out there to the suburbs. Much less.
I've been here 72 years, and I can remember back when they were talking about building Charlesville High. And of course, when they built it in pieces. They didn't do it all at one time. They built this, that, and that was all in segments. And at the time, the principal of Lane at the time drew a plan where they could have expanded Lane. They said Lane was too small.
Could have been done.
Expanded Lane down to the north on where the football field was.
Yep. JR, there's plenty of room. It could have been done at Lane High School without any problem.
So what? The old Lane High School could be Charlottesville High.
Oh, absolutely. And as I say, the civic effect of being able to have students understand the workings and mechanics of their society. Now all they understand is the mechanics of their cars, and they hardly understand that. That parking lot out there fills up with students that are you know, enlarging, learning to do nothing but enlarge their carbon footprint as they go to school. It's insane.
JR, appreciate the call.
High now is too big, right?
Is Charlottesville High too big?
That's right. Maybe we should move back to the Lane building.
Yeah, switch them. Put the county office building over at Charlottesville High. And
there'd be less pressure to be building.
Move it over on Fifth Street, extend it.
Yeah, there'd be less pressure for moving, bringing that parkway into the city, I can tell you that.
Appreciate it, JR. Take care, and thank you so much. We're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour for local news and weather. We'll continue our conversation with Dan Bluestone on the other side of this break. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. About 79 degrees here in Central Virginia on this lovely Tuesday afternoon. 37 minutes after 4, you're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot. I'm glad you're here. Coming up in the next hour, we'll talk local growth and development with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Get an update on all the projects in our area at 5:08. Let's rejoin our conversation with Dan Bluestone. He's a professor of architectural history at the University of Virginia and director of the Historic Preservation Program at the University of Virginia School of Architecture, and he's involved with the efforts on the part of many local citizens to save McIntyre Park from future development, including a certain YMCA and including, of course, the Meadow Creek Parkway. So, Dan, what is this latest, this news that's been making headlines about the Army Corps of Engineers sent a letter to VDOT?
VDOT, yeah.
So tell us about this.
Well, this is something that the people that have been trying to save McIntyre Park and keep the highway out of the park have been arguing for a long time. That is that this is a single undertaking, a single road that goes from Rio Road to 250 with an interchange at 250. And interestingly, Coy, the plan for an interchange at 250 and a road through McIntyre Park as currently proposed has been on the books since 1959, the 1959 master plan. And the real question, Coy, is what's the difference between 1959 and today? Why is the same damn plan there? And I'll tell you that the thing that the Corps is responding to is that there have been put in, since 1959, a whole series of protections to ensure that federal projects don't impact historic resources and that federal highways don't take parklands. Because in the 50s were the Wild West time when that's all we did. Who cared whether it was historic? Who cared whether it was a park? Just build your highway. And in the 60s, we started changing that around. And in 1970, we have Earth Day and the Environmental Protection Agency. And what has happened with this road that's been on the books since before all of those protections, the National Historic Preservation Act of 1966, the Department of Transportation Act of 1966, put in place protections. And what has happened with this road is the segmenting of the road so as to evade all of these protections that have been put in place by saying, well, it's not the federal government building through the park. Because if it was the federal government, you wouldn't be able to do it. And it's not.
See, now this is really important, and this is something people need to understand. VDOT accepted federal dollars for this project.
Right.
And so if you accept federal money for a road project, by law, since 1966, you're not allowed to take federal money and spend it on a road that's going to go through a park.
Park, recreation, wilderness area, unless there is simply no prudent or feasible alternative, and that's a pretty high standard that this road would never match.
So what they said then is, well, we're not using the federal money to put a road through a park. We're just using the federal money to build an overpass.
That's right.
On 250. And it's not part of this road through
the
park.
And if you recall, the city had said in no uncertain terms, this road is not going through our park without an interchange.
Yeah.
And so the road is unthinkable.
Well, that's the whole reason Forrest Marshall went to John Warner and said, the only reason we're going to get this road through the park is if you give us federal money to build the interchange.
Well,
entrance to the park.
Guess what, Coy? That federalizes the whole road. That money that's being spent on the interchange is connected to a road that makes no sense at all unless you have the federal dollars involved. And so there's this really
that's why VDOT has always insisted that the interchange at 250, the road through McIntyre Park, are separate projects, when all of us here know that that's a farce.
That's right. It's insane to think that this is three roads. This is a single road. And I think that what has finally happened is the Corps of Engineers looked at this. They're having to write a permit for the road to cross a single creek in McIntyre Park because it flows into the Chesapeake watershed. And they finally looked at this and they said, this doesn't make sense. This road that ends 775 feet north of 250 has no logical terminus. And they sent it back to VDOT and said, for us to issue a permit for this, we need to see the logical terminus of this road. Well, guess what the logical terminus of the road is?
A federally funded road.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's been the 800-pound gorilla in the room this whole time. And so that's why people are delighted. Now, I know the Corps of Engineers public relations person said, oh, no big deal. But this has been something that the opponents of this road have been insisting for a long, long time. And we finally found a federal regulatory agency that looked at this and said, this doesn't meet the smell test. And I think that
we are spending federal dollars to basically essentially build a road through a historic park. And you're not allowed by federal law to do that.
That's right. You're not allowed to do it unless, again, there is simply no feasible or prudent alternative. And that's a whole...
Well, then the burden of proof is on VDOT.
That's right. And
to show us that
VDOT has simply not met that burden of proof. This is a really tough issue, Coy. And we applauded the Corps of Engineers for standing up and saying, we need to see this entire road because this doesn't make sense as it's being presented. And we've felt that all along. So we were very heartened by this. I don't think the battle is over by any stretch of the imagination. And it might just be that what the Corps wants to do is try to make this somewhat less susceptible to a legal challenge. They might have been looking at this and says, this is so out of whack that it would easily get toppled in a court of law. And so I think that maybe, you know, they're just trying to strengthen the case of VDOT by saying, well, we went through all the regulatory hurdles and all the rest. But I actually think this is an opening, and it's no longer when the Meadow Creek Parkway goes through McIntyre Park. It's now if that will happen. And we can't help it if VDOT and Albemarle County jumped in and decided to start building the road up there. I, by the way, urge everyone, before or after they come out to our picnic in the park with Trees on Fire and Mariana Bell tomorrow night at 5:30 at the picnic shelters, I urge them to go up and look at Rio Road, where the Meadow Creek Parkway begins, and imagine a landscape like that as McIntyre Park, with all of the grading that's been going on, the cutting down of the trees. It's really not a pretty sight, and that is what McIntyre Park is going to look like when they start building a road through it.
Dan Bluestone is a professor of architectural history at the University of Virginia. He's involved with the efforts to save McIntyre Park. You can learn more online at savemcintyre.com. I think that this, as a journalist, local journalist, I've been looking at this issue now for a long time, almost 15 years, and over 15 years. And I think this letter from the Army Corps of Engineers is incredibly significant in the history of the Meadow Creek Parkway, for all the reasons that you've hinted at. And I was I guess, not surprised by some of the local press. Charlottesville Tomorrow did an article. Lisa Province at The Hook did an article. Talked to the Army Corps of Engineers, and they really downplayed its significance and said, no, this is just a little bureaucratic thing. We always ask for more information.
Right.
This isn't a big deal. But what they actually said in the letter is something that VDOT has never admitted to.
Right. And what the public relations person at the Corps said was entirely different than what was in the letter. The letter said, we are not reviewing this project, and we are not issuing a permit until we see a set of plans that has a logical terminus connected to it. And guess what? That logical terminus is right thick in federal dollars. And if it's right thick in federal dollars, all of the protections put in place by the 1966 Historic Preservation Act and the 1966 Department of Transportation Act, the Section 4F, that bars federal highways from going through parks, come into play. And I'm thinking that this is really an incredibly important moment in this process. And the other thing, you know, Corey, I want to give you an example of what's happened from the segmenting of the project.
And by that, you mean VDOT saying, this isn't all one project. It's just an overpass over here and a little road over here. And they happen to connect, but they're still separate projects.
There are two separate processes now unfolding to look at the impacts on historic resources, one for the interchange and one for McIntyre Road Extended. In other words, the interchange impacts are assessed up to 775 feet north of 250. And then, oh, guess what? Here's this road that otherwise, I guess, would have been a cul-de-sac. County people would drive down it, get to the cul-de-sac, turn around and go home or something, you know, as if these are two separate roads. At any rate, there have been these two parallel, what are called Section 106 processes unfolding. And what's really fascinating is, guess what? There's an incredibly important historic resource that's right on the borderline between the interchange project and the road project. Neither of them took this National Register property, which is called Hard Bargain. Neither of them took it into account because they're totally, you know, blind to what's going on and looking at the overall impact of the road and the interchange. They're trying to segment it, and what they end up doing is having historic resources fall right through the cracks.
We're talking with Dan Bluestone of the University of Virginia. The phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you'd like to join this conversation. Your thoughts about the Meadow Creek Parkway and the future of McIntyre Park. Mike is on line one. Mike, thanks for the call. You're on with Dan Bluestone. Go right ahead.
Thanks. I thought maybe you guys could clear up a question for me. I had heard that as a part of the approval of this project somewhere along the way that there was a requirement of added park acres in the city and county of something in the 40 to 50 acre amount that was at some point added since the project was originally approved. Is that true, or is that just a local rumor of sorts?
No, I can address that. Thanks for that question. It's an important one. And if you don't mind, I want to just step back really briefly to Frederick Law Olmsted's design for Central Park. When he designed Central Park, the busy east-west streets through Central Park are sunk below the level of the park. So you can be in the park, and there could have been in that day wagons and carriages and, you know, commerce, the busyness of the city going back and forth across the park, and you'd be you wouldn't know that they were there unless you were on one of the bridges over those crosses, you know, crosstown routes. The way this Meadow Creek Parkway is being designed is that for its entire length, it's up on a berm. And this additional parkland, which was contributed to the city, is all below the level of that. You'll never be able to be on that parkland without being aware of the passage of some of the 25,000 cars a day that are going to travel on this road.
So they're doing just the opposite than they did in Central Park. Instead of burying them and hiding them, they're putting them up on an earth stage.
Yeah, putting them as if it's a monument on a plinth, you know, on a podium for people to look at. And the thing is that if you go up that area north of Melbourne Road now, and even into parts of the golf course, you really have the sense that you're out of the city.
It's beautiful.
Quiet, it's beautiful, And that is being totally destroyed. And now we're getting the replacement parkland in a place that has no accessible residences, no connections to neighborhoods of Charlottesville. And what we're going to end up having is this useless replacement parkland. I don't think it in any way compensates for the loss of the land in McIntyre Park.
Mike, thanks for the call. Excellent question. We got a line open at 977-1070. We're talking with Dan Bluestone about McIntyre Park and the Meadow Creek Parkway. What say you? Support the road? You against it? And why? JR rejoins the conversation on line two. JR, go right ahead.
Mr. Bluestone, I was just wondering if you know. I know, but I was wondering if you ever knew what the price was that the city sold Old Lane High School to the county for.
Wasn't it $1, JR?
$800,000.
How much was it?
$800,000.
Oh, $800,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There you go.
Well, that must have built the parking lots out there at the high school and maybe one, maybe building A, but not much else.
Thank you, JR. Appreciate it. And for folks who are just joining our community, JR, of course, is referring to the county office building, which is downtown, used to be Lane High School, which is why, and where the parking lot is, was the football field, and where that community ball field now was the baseball field for the high school. You know what, Dan, what gets me is back to the Meadow Creek Parkway. I am still, and I guess I will always be shocked and amazed at how VDOT has been just so, this is like a dog with a bone. They don't want to give this away.
No.
Why VDOT is so insistent, this aspect of our state government is so insistent that they build this road and have been since the 60s and fighting all local opposition to it, it baffles me. I just don't get it.
You know, this is the interesting thing, Coy, on this. You know, sometimes I really try hard to have an ounce of empathy for the city council members who voted to support this road, thinking, oh, despite all the evidence to the contrary, Fridays at 5 and all the rest, we need to be able to help get more people downtown. But even if you believe that, Coy, even if you accept that logic, the question is, why is our city council supporting a road project that has ramps and an incredibly elaborate and hugely overscaled interchange, which is now actually going to make it more difficult to get downtown than to get to Pantops? You know, and this is a lesson that city after city learned in the 1950s and 60s that thought, oh, we need to build highways to help people get downtown. Guess what? They both get people downtown and they get people out of town. And one of the things that's happening here is through this huge overscaled interchange that's going to cost probably way more than $27 million that were provided. And the question is, where's that money coming from?
Yeah, the money to make up the difference.
Yeah, where are we going to get that? Is Charlottesville going to pay to make it easier for county residents to go from north of Charlottesville over to Pantops? Because that's why this thing's so expensive, is because we're trying to send people east and west on 250. We're not bringing them downtown. Something like the Park Street Bridge would have been sufficient for that. Instead, we're spending $27 million to get them going east and west on 250. And that puts Charlottesville's downtown at a competitive disadvantage rather than a competitive advantage. And I think that that is one of the outrageous qualities
That's something that a lot of business owners downtown who support the Meadow Creek Parkway, they don't get that.
No. You know, look at the future out there in Pantops, growth district, a lot of commercial development. And the people downtown who have been supporting this thing have supported a road that's going to end up damaging their businesses.
Dan Bluestone is with the University of Virginia School of Architecture. He's director of the Historic Preservation Program. And really quick, Thursday night or tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, the 22nd of July, 5:30 to 9, picnic shelters at McIntyre Park. We're having a picnic with Trees on Fire and Mariana Bell, who's an amazing singer. Come on down and enjoy the free concert
in the park tomorrow night at 5:30. There you go. Just look for the picnic pavilion, and right over there by the ball fields, you can meet Dan Bluestone and talk with him. Dan, thank you for being here.
Thank you. It was great to be here, Coy. Thanks for having me in.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.